So we're going to start on page Kuth, the opposite of page 198. And the year would be Tufresh Membe's last mimer, sorry, the first mimer of Tufresh Mem Gimel, page Kuth. The first one of Tufresh Mem Gimel. I thought it was the last of Mem Beis, but it's the first of Mem Gimel.
Is this one right here, Ron?
And it's Inyan Halicha Mibayis Lasukha. The Inyan of going from the house into the Sukkah. Say Midiras Keva. Chacham say, go out from your fixed, established dwelling place, which is your home. And the end of that is, and go out into a Diras Arai. Go out into a temporary dwelling, which is the Sukkah. Yeah, pardon me?
Eastmans who are under the sukkah in the wrong place, go home.
That'll be cute on the
Is that
tape.
On today?
Yeah.
Talking angry children.
It's the deepest teaching.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
It was built in tradition to say the
sukkah. Who may ain mitzvah v'yishona shen istavra avram avinu alav shalom lech lecha mi'artzecha. This mitzvah of going into the sukkah is similar, is parallel to the first mission, the first mitzvah that Avram Avinu was given by Hashem. Hashem said to him, "Lech lecha me'artzecha, leave your land and go to El Oretz Asher Arecha, the land I'm going to show you." So we're paralleling Avram Avinu by going out into the sukkah, and it's like the mitzvah of Lech lecha. B'kamokein b'bnei Yisrael, likewise. There's another parallel to the Jewish people. Shenemar, as it says, and we say this a lot during the Yom Tov davening, Zacharti loch chesed ne'ureich. Hashem says, I have remembered for you the love of your youth. What was that love? Lechtech acharai b'midbar, that you followed, you walked after me in the wilderness. So the focus there being on lechtech. The Jewish people were willing to leave, even though it was, of course, the house of slavery, but that was where they... That was what they were accustomed to. They knew about it. They went from there into a wilderness. And Lechtech acharai b'midbar. Hashem said, you walked after me into this wilderness. You left what you were familiar with to go and leave Mitzrayim. Lubavadai, ein yecholin l'kayim zeh kura'ui rak b'tchilas. He says, certainly, the only way to fulfill this concept properly is at the very beginning, right? When you first leave what you're familiar to and go into something that's different. When you walk out of your house into the sukkah, that very first time, there's something about that which is a little exciting, a little unsettling, because we have to make the adjustment to a new place. That occurs at the beginning. V'lachain, therefore, achar yom ha-kippurim, after Yom Kippur, shenasim tahorim, when we have become pure after Yom Kippur, kekotan shenolad, and we're like a child that has been born at that time. Miss Ora is the haratzon. This ratzon is awakened. Want a cookie for?
Oh, sure.
These are better.
Much.
B'chol ish Yisroel, and every Jew lihiyos nimshach achar Hashem Yisborah, to follow after God. So right after Yom Kippur, when we're like a newborn, this mitzvah has a special quality to be able, like a child, to run after Hashem into the sukkah. Acharecha narutza, we will run after you. Give me a second. Kevin?
It's okay, I'll listen.
We got an extra.
Oh,
okay.
Kevin, listen. Bring Kevin.
Okay, that's acharecha narutza. Umistama, and mistama means probably, most likely, pirish chesed ne'ureich. When we look at that phrase a little more closely, the chesed of your youth, which refers to Bnei Yisrael in the desert, he said it may be, perhaps, who Avraham Avinu. It's also alluding to Avraham, who is the midah of Chesed. So Chesed Ne'uraich refers to the youth of Israel, when the Jewish people were just born as a people, when we were a Na'ar, who was there? Chesed. Avraham Avinu was right there. The very first quality that this Na'ar, this youth, Bnei Yisrael had, was Avraham. Reshisan Shel Yisrael, who was the first of the Jewish people. So he's connecting these concepts of the first, and at the time when you are the first, you have a unique ability. We have a unique ability to, with a kind of youthful exuberance, to rush out from familiar surroundings and run after Hashem, wherever he may be. If it's Avram Avinu, he's willing to leave his land and go to wherever Hashem is going to tell him. El Oretz Hasher Areka. It didn't tell him where. If it's Bnei Yisrael, Acharai Bamidbar, into the Midbar. If it's us, into our Sukkah. We had this youthful exuberance after Yom Kippur, so this is the time to take advantage of that and to go into the Sukkah and do something new. Says he heard from his grandfather, the Rim, Al Maimer Hamidrash Tanchuma Baparshas Lech Lecha. There's a Midrash Tanchuma that says in Parshas Lech Lecha, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu Ma Lekabo Olav Malchus Shemayim Kishahu Mahalech. The Midrash Tanchuma sometimes has these very curious introduction to a Maimer in the Midrash, and the Midrash will say, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, teach us our Rebbe, and it will ask a question that seems often unrelated to whatever is going on in that parsha. This one is a little more related. It says, teach us the halacha, are you allowed to be mekabel ol machu shemayim, which basically means to say shema, when you're walking, kishahu mahalech, the connection there being to lech lecha, which is the parsha that it's in. The higid, and it says there, ki kevan shehoi sazu mitzvah rishona, being that this was Avram Avinu's first mitzvah, lech lecha, go, Imkein lama hischel bahalicha. Why did it begin specifically with walking? What was it about Hashem's redstone that the first thing he told Avram Avinu was walk? And a lot of things he could have told him first, right? That was the first mitzvah. Why is that significant? Umiyashev ki kavar amad Avram Avinu ala v'shalom be'inyan v'yahavta. The divrei pichacham chen. They said something very concise from the Rim. And he said, he told him to walk because Avram Avinu had already mastered being able to stand. Standing he could already do. So therefore what Hashem had to tell him was walk. Right? And he says, Divrei Pichacham Chein, the words of a wise man are sweet. Right. Yeah, I'm going to explain that in a minute. So he says he already mastered that, standing. And what is that? That's V'yohavta, as Hashem Elokecha, which he'll explain in a minute. And he says that the words of a wise man are sweet. And he likes this, that what the Rim said. And now he'll explain a little bit. It's possible to say this in reference to the series of days that we are going through. On Rosh Hashanah, that's the unity of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. In other words, being Mekabel O Malchus Shemayim. And what is Rosh Hashanah about? Melech HaKadosh. We're recognizing Hashem is Melech. That corresponds to Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Rosh Hashanah does. Va'oz tzrichin lizbatel elav. And at that moment when God is recognized as being the ultimate Melech, we're batel to Him. Right? We are totally given over to Him. V'lo shayach halicha. We're not going anywhere. Right? We're overwhelmed by that sense of awe. In Hashem's presence, right? We're just going to be overwhelmed with that. So we're standing, so to speak. V'chein, b'yom ha-kippurim, hu b'chinas boruch shem kavod ma'chusa l'olam v'od. And on Yom Kippur, that's b'chinas boruch shem. And that ties in nicely because we say that out loud on Yom Kippur, right? We say boruch shem kavod ma'chusa l'olam v'od out loud, and that's because we're like malachim, and we can say that because boruch shem is that when we actually recognize Hashem's Malchus in a more revealed way. Shema Yisrael is that we believe in it, whether or not we see it or not. Boruch Shem is that we see it. And the Malachim see it, so they say it out loud. On Yom Kippur, we can say it out loud too. We have a glimpse of Malchus Shemayim in a more revealed way. Uba Sukkos, so what happens on Sukkos? Maschil V'yohavta. Now V'yohavta begins. Right, Sukkos is a time of the first paragraph of Shema. V'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha, b'chol levavcha, etc. Our expression of love to Hashem. Sheyihye shem shamayim misahe val yodecha, kid'isa b'sifri. The Sifri writes, what does it mean, v'yahavta, you shall love Hashem? It means that you shall cause Hashem's name to be loved. Right, by what we do, the shem shamayim will be misahev. It will bring people to a love of God. The Ahavta is that you shall love, but they darshan it that we shall bring about a love for Hashem by what we do. That's misahiv. Lachain oz hamitzvah halicha. And that's them walking around, because we're spreading this message of avas Hashem. The first one is that we're overwhelmed by Hashem's presence. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Once we grasp that, we have to take that around. We have to move with that. That's halicha. That's walking. That's v'yohavta. B'lachein makrivin ayin porim al ha'umos. Therefore, there's as a sign of that, on Sukkot we offer 70 bulls. Each one corresponds to one of the nations of the world. We're trying to increase ahava in the world. There's a place for the korban of the Gentiles on Sukkot. Gam ken hispashtus ha-kedusha l'chol ha-mekomos kanal. And what that korban does is it emanates and distributes kedusha from Klal Yisrael into all of the nations of the world, into all places. That's the beginning of the ohavta, of the halicha. Vayidei zeh zochin el ha-oretz asher areka. And through this, we're zocha to the land which I will show you. That's what Hashem told Abraham, go to the land that I will show you. V'chein b'sukkah, zochin l'ruach HaKodesh ha-yidei mitzvazu. And in Sukkot, we are zocha to Ruach HaKodesh, because when we went to the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov, that's what people got, was Ruach HaKodesh. The name Simchas Beis HaShoeva means on one level that they drew water, Shoeva, on another level, Shoavin Ruach HaKodesh. They drew from the Beis HaMikdash Ruach HaKodesh. And that was available at each of the regalim, and Sukkot was a very high moment of that. V'lachein, Sukkah, Milashon Yiska. Therefore, Sukkah is related to the word Yiska, which means to converse and to speak. Remember Sora Yimeinu, when she's first identified in the Torah, she's called Yiska. And then Rashi says there, because everybody was conversing about her beauty. Sha'akol Sochin Biyafya. So it's a lesson of conversing. Shesachsa b'ruach hakodesh. That this sukkah brings people to speak with ruach hakodesh. So he's saying here that the last part of the series of Yom Tovim, Sukkot here, is that the mitzvah of halicha, of spreading Hashem's love, is available to us. And that we have to do through motion, through movement. So we leave our house, we go into the sukkah. That represents kind of disseminating Ahavas Hashem into the world as we step into the sukkah.
Okay.
Must have been on the first night that he said this went over.
Well, he makes reference to the first night, or the first time in. I wonder what he would be thinking about the rest of the days. Are we then settled in our ways again, or are we settling in new ways?
As he was making that mimer a little broader, what I understood him to mean is that it applies all through Sukkot. He didn't really mean the first day only. He meant the first days following Yom Kippur.
Okay.
So this whole period of time, really, is the first days, when we're new and we're fresh following Yom Kippur. Now, as far as what Hilly mentioned, I think what he was saying there, and that Avraham Avinu, why was he told to walk? And I said that he had mastered standing already, Shema Yisroel Baruch Shem, and then he says V'yohavta, seemingly because that was his mitzvah, chesed, of spreading Hashem's knowledge of Hashem throughout the world, so it was consistent with him that he'd be given the mitzvah of Lech Lecha. That was Avraham's task. He was spreading the concept of monotheism into the world, and Avas Hashem. So Lech Lecha really fit who he was, and that was his first mitzvah.
The standing already seems to indicate what the Midrash talks about, where it says he stood fast in the face of Nimrod.
Right. Right, and that really is an Indian of Kabbalah Samu Shaman, to the extent that he was willing to be Moser Nefesh for it.
And the Indian of the Ahavta.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a look at another one. I was trying to find one on Hoshana Rabbah for Sukkot, but I didn't see one specifically on that day.
Something on the Rabbah?
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Page 206, yeah. The year would be Tufresh Memhe, the last mimer of Tufresh Memhe.
There you go.
Yeah.
The one that's cleverly disguised.
The Derech Remes. Okay, 206, right? The last one, right. There it is. Second paragraph on the right. Lahoshana Rabba. Mashakavu Chazal Rov HaBakashos B'yom HaZeh. Why was it that the Chachamim were koveya so much supplication? As we'll see tomorrow morning, that the tefillah of Hoshana Rabbah is really, you know, it's replete with everything. You think it's Shabbos, you think it's Yom Tov, you think it's Chol, you think it's Rosh Hashanah. It's everything, all in one day. It's an amazing day. It's a unique day. Ki ha'arava hu osan she'in lehem tam v'reyach rak tefillah. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with that chazal. It's really quoted a lot, that each of the four meaning represent different kinds of Jews. Right? The Esrog has a good smell and a good taste. One has a good smell, not a good taste, and etc., etc. And the Arava does not have a taste and does not have a smell. Right? And that refers to Jews who do not have Torah or Midas. Torah or Midas or Mitzvahs?
Mitzvahs.
Mitzvahs, right? Torah or Mitzvahs.
All Jews have Midas.
Right.
Some good, some bad.
So he says that the Arava, which does not have Tam and Reyach, it doesn't have taste or smell. I said it wrong before. It's not a bad smell. It's that it lacks smell.
Well, what's the...
The lulav has taste, but no smell because of the fruit that it produces has taste.
A smell means pleasant fragrance, right. Not necessarily a smell.
A fragrance, right. It does smell good. And the hadasim have a good smell, but they don't have a taste. And the arava has no smell and no taste. So he says that they have no Torah, they have no mitzvahs. What do they have? Tefillah. The Rebbe is just plain, flat-out tefillah. Okay. That has to be understood, because tefillah is a mitzvah. I'm not sure what he means by that. V'alzeh kesiv, pono el tefillas ha'aror, shehu er v'reik mikol. It says, turn to the tefillah of the aror. I understood to mean that usually a middle person, but they darshan it to mean a person who is awake and empty of everything. The Aror means he's empty of everything. So say to Hashem, turn to the tefillah of the one who has nothing. That's all I have is my prayer. V'aremez ka'aror ba'arava. There's a remez to that of the word ta'arav, which I don't know what he means. But tefillah miskabeles yoser. A person who approaches Hashem like that, their tefillah is more readily acceptable to God. And they're not going in with pride, or with saying it's my merit, it's my greatness. They're saying, Hashem Yisbarach, I don't have anything. All I have before you is my tefillah. And that tefillah is very desirable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki desiv sham tefillah lo'oni ki yatov. David HaMelech says in one of his Tehillim, a tefillah for the poor person, ki yatov, who wraps himself up. Ve'isa, she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu meniach kol ha'tefillos, Lumakabel Mikodim Tefillas Ha'ani. It's brought in Chazal that Hashem lets all other tefillos go in the presence of the tefillah of the Ani, which he receives first. He will take the prayer of the poor person before all others. So on Hoshana Rabbah, the day of the Arava, we're supposed to try and incorporate that into our own state of being. That we're saying to Hashem, this is a day of tefillah, and this is all we have. Here's our tefillahs. It's a tefillah la'ani.
It's also what we use for our Hoshanahs, because our Aravos.
Just in our Aravos. It's beating the Hoshanahs.
It's all our
Aravos. That's right. And when we come to that point, we dafka, our minhag is to put the lulav down.
Right.
There are different minhagim over history about how they did that. But bizmanenu, we put the lulav down, and it's strictly the Aravos that we're holding at the end for the last few tachinos, and of course for the chavatos.
Why do we beat them?
The beating them has to do with the concept that's difficult, which is the hamtokas hegevuros, that we're sweetening the din. The din is based on something called hegevuros, five categories of din. And the bundle of five hoshanas represents those five, and by beating them, it mitigates and sweetens the din. And this is the chasima of the din on Sukkot of Hashanah Rabbah. This is the signature, and we sweeten it as it's being sealed.
What are the chay gevuros?
I don't know. they're the source of gevura and din in the world. They correspond to the five formations of speech from the mouth. Like the Aleph Beis has five categories of guttural letters, palate letters, teeth letters. There's five. And they divide the Aleph Beis into five categories. And corresponding to them, you have Hey Gevuros. Because it's definition, it's boundary.
Aren't they also the series of the Sidrach of the left side? So there would be Din and the Gevura.
Yeah, there is a connection there because it's from that side that that the Sitra Achra has a connection. And we sweeten them somehow by beating the Aravas. As far as what they are specifically, the five, I don't know. Okay. So that's Hashanah Rabbah. V'yesh lomar b'zeh pirush ha-pasuk v'lo b'oza es tefilasam. The pasuk says, I don't know where this is, that Hashem did not despise their tefillah. U'madayik b'midrash emor dehavale lomar tefillah so. It says in the midrash in Parshas Emor that it should have said his tefillah. I don't know if that was Moshe's or Aaron's. I don't know the midrash there. Raksha be'emes kol hadalad minim osen sheyesh b'em tam v'reyach kulam nivashu al yidei ha'aror. So he's really taking this midrash and turning it on its head. Everybody looks at this and says the Arava represents Jews who don't have anything. He says no. As a matter of fact, all the Dalad meaning, the Jews who are Tamidei Chachamim and filled with Torah and filled with mitzvos, or who have one or who have the other, everybody has a Yeshua because of the Arava. Mm-hmm. Everybody has to turn to the Arava ultimately and is saved by that Aror. This middleman, this ambassador, so to speak, of Klal Yisroel, it's the Arava. It's the guy who realizes, hey, I don't have anything before Hashem. Everybody then has Yeshua through him. V'yidei she'mishtatfin imohem, and therefore by joining them all together, gam osan ha'pechusim niskabel tfilas kulam. Then even those who are, you know, less, who are lowly, all the tefillos have been accepted of all of them because they're joined to the Arava. V'arava domelis fasayim. And Arava is similar to lips. That's another midrash, right? The Hadassim is our eyes, and the Lulav is the heart, the Yesrog is the spine, and the Aravas are compared to lips. And this fits this beautifully, because he says the Arava is Tefillah, and Tefillah is Tefillah's Kolpeh. Kamosher Kosuv Kachud Hashoni Sivsosayich, as it says, your lips are like a thread of scarlet wool. Umidvorcha Nova, and from your words is a beautiful sanctuary. Doshu Chazal Al Yemei HaGalus, the Chachamim Darshanith, that this refers to Galus. Osan Shehen Kamidbar Shemama. The word Daber, to speak, is like the word Midbar, which means a desert, a desolate place. And the tefillah of somebody who makes themselves like a Midbar Shemama, that they consider themselves as if they have nothing, they're desolate. Those words, that Dibur, is very powerful to Hashem. Noah v'areva tefilasam lefanav. This tefillah is very pleasing and very pleasant before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really quite an insightful mimer.
Interesting when you look from the aspect that as we go through the Shiantiv, you know, 7 days and so forth, you start to get a little treadbare. It's rained, it's been hot, whatever, but it's a little tough. The etrog now starting to show brown spots and aging a little bit. The leaves are starting to shed all over the place. The blue lava is a little flaky as it gets towards the end. So the only thing left, and so is the rubble she picked up that are solid and left standing. Mm-hmm. And you have, no matter how beautiful the etrog was you bought at the beginning, it's no different now than the one who bought the forest one at the beginning. They're all going away. So the splendor is off now. What's left?
It's a lowly Arava.
Poor man.
Fresh and new for Hashanah
Rabbah. There's a lot of stories about how, in spite of the simple-minded or simple people are the ones that brought the Yeshua, the Lord.
Right. And sometimes there's a chus.
Sometimes their lack of understanding is helpful.
Yeah, pleasure to you. And of course, what he's trying to say here is that people who do contain much more Torah and mitzvos that there must be part of them which is devoted to being a Pashadi, and not to become so attached to their Torah and mitzvahs that it becomes like, this is my merit, this is my zechus. And we see that by great tzaddikim. The really great tzaddikim, when they approached HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was like a very simple Pashut Yid. It's not my zechus, it's not my merit, it's kulo chesed Hashem.
Rabbi, it seems to me that the tefillah he's talking about here is not the halachic tefillah that we say, the Shemoneh Esrei, but it's a tefillah of your own. Because he says you have to be reich, Elohim Tam the reich, and we pointed out that the reich is the mitzvah. And the halachic tefillah is a mitzvah, so this must be a tefillah that is
so
not halachic.
Maybe it's outside of the getter of tariyat mitzvahs, a personal tefillah. Okay. All right, we got time for one more? What time we got?
Yes, I got seven on.
Okay. Yeah. So let's do one from Vizos.
Corresponding to the 7 days.
We did Vizos HaBaracha last week, right?
Yeah.
We got to do a simplest Torah one.
Yeah, I guess we should do a simplest Torah one. That would be better.
You want to start Simchas Torah?
What's that?
Nothing. Do you want for Simchas Torah?
We're on 208.
Maybe it's service. 208?
It begins Simchas Torah.
It's a part of service.
There's also one 210.
Yeah, I was looking at the one on 210.
That's Sarah. Simchas Torah.
Can you do
that?
Yeah,
that's a 208. Also on page 210 is a very brief Maimar on.
Yeah, that's the one on the left column there.
Right?
I think that's the one we'll go for. Take a look on page 210. And Tefresh Mem Zayin, the last one of Tefresh Mem Zayin. He really has a lot on focus. Okay. Benin Simchas Torah.
Got it there? A couple more back.
Sorry, one more page, right?
You're saying it's outside Warsaw.
Oh, is it?
You got it there? Page 210. Last one. Binyan Simchas Torah. Okay, concerning Simchas Torah Bishmini Atzeres. This is a famous question. Why were the Chachamim Koveya Simchas Torah to be Badavka at this time? Now, we're Messiah in the Torah, of course, the Zos HaBracha. And this is the cycle of the Torah. But the Chachamim could have arranged that the Siyum HaTorah could have come out on a different day. You know, Shavuos or Parshas Bereishis. I mean, Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, why not?
You know what I mean.
Well, I'm sure they wanted to pick a time where they didn't have anything else to do.
Right. Okay. Kasavnu kavar ki hu inyan lucha sachronus shenitnu b'yom ha-kippurim b'bechines ba'alei tshuva. This is a very important concept that we looked at before, that the Kabbalah Satorah, which took place on Yom Kippur, which is when Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the second Luchos, that's the Kabbalah Satorah which is related to Teshuvah. And it's really that Kabbalah Satorah which stood for the rest of history. The first Kabbalah Satorah couldn't stand. It wasn't really based on Teshuvah. The second one was based on Teshuvah, and that's the one that stayed with us all the way through. And it occurred on Yom Kippur. The Yesh Makom, the Beis HaKabbalas B'chol Shana. There is a place for two types of Kabbalas HaTorah each year. B'chag HaShavuos Hu HaRishonis. When we celebrate Shavuos, we're really celebrating the first Kabbalas HaTorah, the first Luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down. That's Shavuos. U'bishmini Atzeres Hu HaAchronis. Shmini Atzeres, which follows shortly after Yom Kippur, that really is to celebrate the second Kabbalah HaTorah with the Luchos Shniyos.
Is there any idea of Kabbalah HaTorah connected in Chazal to the term Atzeres, which is used for Shmini Atzeres?
Shavuos is called Atzeres.
No, I know, but I mean specifically Kabbalah HaTorah and the term Atzeres. Because here he's making a connection between those two, so I'm just...
Not that I know, except for the fact that besides Shemini Atzeres, that Shavuos is called Atzeres too. Right. That's all I'm familiar
that's
with.
That's
why. Yeah. Moshe Kos v'Shem Mori Zekeni Zal, Al Shenithak of Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom, Achar Kach Od Memiyom, Michlal Shetora Chadash Shenitna Lehem B'Bechinas Balei Tshuva. He says from his grandfather the Rim, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the second Luchos, right? Why did he have to stay up there 40 days again? He already did that before. He went up the first time, stayed up 40 days. He figured the second time, he could have been up there for much less, right? Hi, how are you? Hi, Shuki, how are you? Is that from Mommy? This is hot apple crisp, gentlemen. So it might cause you to want to linger in the circle of your place, which is fine. Tell Mommy thank you, Hootie. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to spend another 40 days? He says, because it was a new Torah. This Torah that he brought down on Yom Kippur, the second Luchos, this is a new Torah. Luchos Chadashos. He wasn't just reviewing what he got during the first 40 days. It's a Torah Chadasha. Api ma'amurim zal, b'mokam shabali teshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemurin ucholin la'amod, b'divrei pichacham chen. As it is said that where a Baal Tshuva stands, a Tzadik Gomer can't stand. You see that this is a different place. It's a different makam. And he says from the Rim, this is a beautiful thing. It's a new Torah. V'hine b'chol ma'aseh Bereishis k'siv v'yar Elokim kitov. It says throughout Bereishis, and Hashem saw that it was good. Perashnu shera'a b'chol davor shenimtza bo he'oras ha'Torah. When Hashem says it's Tov, that means he saw in everything the light of the Torah. That's what he was referring to when he said Tov. Shenikra Tov, Shaba Nivra HaKol. Because the Torah is called Tov, through it everything was created, as we know. When he saw the light of the Torah in everything, he said, that's Tov, and that's Tov. Okay?
My only question was that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't Ma'aver on the Cheda Egel. So why was he wasn't really a Baal Tshuva?
He wasn't over himself?
Yeah.
I would say that's because of his Hishtatfus with Klal Yisrael, that no matter what, he always put himself
there.
Right.
Matzah.
Right. And he would never separate himself. Hashem said to him, I'll create a new people
right,
from you.
You take me out too.
Didn't want that. Right. I'm part of these people. Period.
I think in another mimer he said something about the Yisrael was saved because Moshe Rabbeinu was Mishtatef with them, so that his merit lifted them up.
Lifted them up too, right.
Just that much.
Right, right.
They wouldn't be destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the Shizem Ashokasu Vayar, etc., Kol Asher Asah V'Hine Tov Ma'o. Therefore, the end of that section of the Torah when Hashem saw and he says Tov Ma'od, he saw it was very, very good. Nefarish Al HaTorah B'Bechinas Ba'alei Teshuvah. He says, if Tov is the Torah, Tov Ma'od is the second Torah. That's the Luchos Shniyos.
That would be a good like poster from the shul. Vehine Tov Ma'od.
The Ma'od is according to Rashi is the Yitzhahara.
The Yitzhahara. That's right. So, but doesn't that fit perfectly? Because the teshuva has to contend with that.
Right.
That really is what a person who's doing teshuva must contend with is Ra. Is the Yitzhahara.
Yeah, it's interesting. What this mimer ties in with our first mimer today.
Yeah.
Because we have b'makom she'balei tshuva omdin, and tzadikim gomurim yachoyim la'amod. If you're a tzadik gomor, you can't stand. You have to go. You have to lech.
Uh-huh.
So you know, the b'alei tshuva comes there and he's standing. Well, if you want to keep on going, if you want to maintain what you've got to lech. So
very good.
All goes back.
Very good. Shkala. Nice. Shezeh haya be'erev Shabbos achar shekavar shav adam harishon b'tshuva. Wow. He said when Hashem said Tov Ma'od, that was Friday, that was Erev Shabbos. And it was at that point that Adam HaRishon had already done Teshuvah. So he identified Tov Ma'od with Adam HaRishon's Teshuvah, and that represents the second Luchos, which is Klal Yisrael's Teshuvah, and the Torah, which is based on Teshuvah. That's really what we're celebrating on Simchas Torah. Shukarach.